Hello and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that covers all things J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on fixtures in Round 8 of the J3 season, as well as previewing the Round 9 matches coming up this midweek, and the Round 10 matches this weekend. There were 8 games on Saturday the 6th of April, and heading back to the top of the J3 table go Ormia Ardija, narrow winners at home to FC Osaka. The visitors twice had attempts cleared off the line, late in the first half when Ormia defender Mizuki Hamada lost his balance but recovered to stop Takahiro Kitsui's scrambled effort from going in. Then, deep in stoppage time, Takuya Akiyama's header in turn nodded away by Masato Kojima. But the only goal came 16 minutes from the end, Toya Izumi's corner deflected into his own net by the unfortunate Takumi Shimada. Final score, Ormia 1, Osaka 0. A performance with little to recommend it by Ardija, but they battled to keep a clean sheet and got lucky at the other end. Osaka's run of 4 goalless draws comes to a finish in deflating style. They drop to 5th. And previous leaders FC Gifu slipped back one place following their draw at SC Sagamihara. Both teams had chances in the first half, most notably Kosuke Fujioka for the away side and Bruno Santos for the hosts, and it was Fujioka who put Gifu in front early in the second half, his 7th and easiest of the season, scrambling it over the line after Yuya Taguchi's header had been parried by Motoaki Miura. But this year's edition of Sagamihara are a difficult team to beat, and they drew level in the 67th minute, a counter-attack ended by exciting prospect Kazuki Fukui, who hooked in at the far post a dinked ball from Riku Hashimoto. And in the end, maybe Gifu were lucky to take the point, as late on, Yuji Senema had a great chance to win it for the home side, only to blast his close-range shot off target. Final score, Sagamihara 1, Gifu 1. The Green and Blacks, again, not great fun to watch, but Kazuyuki Toda has transformed them from a bottom 6 team to a top 6 team. Yusaku Ueno's side now unbeaten in 6. Rather more goals to talk about now as we go to Azul Claro Numazu, a point behind Gifu in 3rd, having brushed aside the challenge of Iwate Gruja Morioka at the Ashitaka Park Stadium. Comfortable throughout, Numazu were 2-0 up at half-time thanks to a brace from Hagumi Wada, who opened the scoring when he chested over the line across from Tatsuya Anzai and claimed a second by glancing in Kotaro Tokunaga's free kick at the near post. 10 minutes into the second half, Takumi Tsukui made it 3, tucking in a low ball from Takumi Hama, and although Iwate's Toi Kagami pulled one back with a fine shot from the edge of the box following good work by youngster Shuto Adachi, Azul Claro's Tsukui had the last word, rifling in an angled shot after Haruki Toyama's back heel setup. Final score, Numazu 4, Iwate 1. A confident display by Azul Claro as they bounce back from last week's defeat at Nagano. Gruja really not competitive here, and they sink to the bottom of the table. Wild scenes at the Gogo Curry Stadium, where resurgent hosts Zvegan Kanazawa put Matsumoto Yamaga to the sword. Matsumoto began well and took an early lead when Tsubasa Ando's cross reached Kazuma Yamaguchi, whose shot deflected off Marleyson and in. But by half-time, Kanazawa were 4-1 up, Marleyson himself netting the 26-minute equaliser, a header from Masaya Kojima's cross. Hayate Ohtani then scored 2 in 4 minutes. First, a near post header from Keisuke Oyama's free kick. Then, a right foot finish from a pass by Yuki Kajiura. Zvegan's fourth came 7 minutes before the break. Kajiura's cross flicked on by Hiroto Hatao for Ryota Inoue to fire in from 6 yards. Yamaga experienced a defensive collapse on 57 minutes. Ryuhei Yamamoto's feeble pass out from the back picked up by Oyama, whose shot looped off Shohei Takahashi and under the bar. Kanazawa wrapped up the scoring 3 minutes from time, Shuga Sakurai cutting inside to leave Masato Tokida on the floor before hammering it into the roof of the net. Final score, Kanazawa 6, Matsumoto 1. A comprehensive demolition job by Zvegan, their best result for more than 5 years. Comfortably Yamaga's worst result since dropping into J3, and they're now 13th, their lowest ever J-League placing. In a thriller at FC Imabari, AC Nagano Parseiro went ahead just before half-time. Packing the home area for a Takashi Kondo cross, Takeya Kuroishi heading powerfully in. Parseiro, coached by former Imabari boss Riki Takagi, extended their lead on 57 minutes, the unmarked Hayato Ikegaya having a simple job to dispatch Kōken Kato's corner at the near post. But 3 goals in 7 minutes put the game on a knife edge, the home side pulling one back for 2-1 when an Angelotti corner was headed in by Tetsuya Kato. Parseiro quickly restored their 2-goal lead through in-form Kensei Ukita, who stole in front of Ryota Ichihara to slide in Park Subin's near post cross. But Imabari set up a grandstand finish by making it 3-2 in the 73rd minute. Substitute Tomoki Hino scoring on his J3 debut when his stabbed shot nicked off defender Kohei Tomita and slipped under Ken Tajiri. And the Tower City men's equaliser came in stoppage time, their keeper Genta Ito going upfield for another Angelotti corner and rising to head in at the far post. Final score, Imabari 3, Nagano 3. Toshihiro Hattori's team hold on to fourth, despite being without a win in 4. 2 points dropped with a clang by Parseiro, their 5th draw of the campaign. Change of pace down at Gainare Tottori, who almost took the lead midway through the first half of their home game against Fukushima United, but Shota Tanaka headed against the bar from Keita Tanaka's cross. The deciding moment in this one came in the 88th minute. The Fukushima defence badly exposed, Masayuki Yamada not helping matters with a very untimely slip, allowing Yuhei Nishida to play it through for Shunosuke Matsuki, who took it forwards and placed it past the advancing Kenshin Yoshimaru. Final score, Tottori 1, Fukushima 0. 6 without defeat now for Gainare, and they're up to 10th. A tame performance this from Fukushima, now winless in 4. Elsewhere in last week's previews, I suggested there were must-win games for Katare Toyama and Tegevajaro Miyazaki. And what do you know, both teams won. Toyama were at home to Giravance Kitakyushu, had a number of near misses in the first half, and seconds after the restart, Shosei Usui's goal was chalked off for offside. The only goal to count came on 48 minutes, Shosaku Yasumitsu picking up a loose ball after a mazy run from Usui and firing in a laser beam from 25 yards. Final score, Toyama 1, Kitakyushu 0. Katare steadying the ship, although they're still below halfway in the standings. Giravance rarely threatened here, falling to their first defeat in 4. Miyazaki, meanwhile, pulled off their first victory of the season at home to Nara Club. On a rainy afternoon at the Strawberry Stadium, Tegevajaro conceded early through former player Yuki Okada, a comedy of errors in the home defence, as Kengo Kuroki and Shoi Yoshinaga both failed to cut out Megumu Nishida's cross, leaving Okada to score from 12 yards. What Yoshinaga was trying to do is hard to understand. Nana's defence was absent as the home side drew level midway through the second half, Shogo Rikiyasu picking up possession and moving forward to unleash a screamer from 30 yards that gave Kokoro Aoki no chance. And the winner came 3 minutes from time, Keigo Hashimoto latching onto a long ball down the right and centering for Shu Yoshizawa to finish at the far post. Final score, Miyazaki 2, Nana 1. Tega Vajano move off the bottom on goal difference. Nana could and should have got something from the game, but didn't have the quality in front of goal. Two games then on Sunday the 7th, and Kamatamari Sanuki are now the only team still looking for their first win of the season, as they were beaten by YSCC Yokohama at the Pikara Stadium. The difference between the sides was YSCC's winter signing from Zaspa Gunma, Koji Okumura, who in the 11th minute won the ball in midfield and delivered an exquisite through pass, onto which Onye Ogochuku ran and slotted a finish inside the far post. On 53 minutes, Okumura rounded off a counter-attack begun by Ogochukwu, converting a cross from Jorn Pedersen that former YSCC defender Kei Munechika really should have cut out. Pretty lacklustre stuff from Kamatamare. They didn't create a real chance until now Eguchi's glancing header in injury time, which at least drew a diving save from stand-in keeper Chris Takahashi. Final score, Sanuki 0, YSCC 2. It's looking like the Noodle Boys' confidence is ebbing away, and they're now down in the bottom three. YSCC, in contrast, approach the sunlit uplands of mid-table. And finally, Vanrare Hachinohe against FC Ryukyu ended level, although the home players and fans will wonder quite how. Hachinohe went in front after 16 minutes, taking advantage of an inattentive Ryukyu back line. Masashi Kokubun swinging in across, Koki Maezawa providing a clean header at the near post. The visitors' equaliser came early in the second half. Takayuki Takayasu, brought down by Vanrare keeper Shogo Onishi, Haruto Shirai converting the penalty for his sixth of the season. But the hosts then managed to hit the woodwork three times. First through Aoi Sato's sweeping shot, then a header by Tepe Chikaishi, and then in injury time, another header, this time from Kazuma Nagata, all to no avail. Final score, Hachinohe 1, Ryukyu 1. Vanrare may be stuck in 17th, but the good news is they're unbeaten at home this season. Ryukyu off a little here, but remain just outside the playoffs in 7th. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 8. The top 6 are Omiya with 17 points and a game in hand, Gifu also with 17, Numazu 16, Imabari 14, Osaka and Sagamihara 13. And down at the other end of the table, the bottom 6 are Fukushima with 7 points and a game in hand, Kitakyushu and Hachinohe 6 and a game in hand, Sanuki and Miyazaki 5, and bottom of the table with 5 and a game in hand, Iwate. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the midweek round 9 fixtures and the round 10 games over the weekend. There are 9 games on Wednesday the 10th of April. Among the top 3 leaders, Omiya are at YSCC, Gifu play host to Toyama, and Numazu are at home to 6th placed Sagamihara. Imabari head down to Miyazaki. Osaka will be hoping they can score an actual goal at home to Hachinohe. Good old-fashioned mid-table battle at Nagano, where the visitors are Tottori. Can Kanazawa build on their weekend triumph as they go to Fukushima? For Ryukyu, there's the comparatively short trip to Kitakyushu. And bottom side, Iwate are at home to Nara. The remaining round 9 fixture, Matsumoto against Senaki, is scheduled for Saturday the 20th of April. And by the way, all the games in hand currently complicating the schedule and the league table will be resolved over that same weekend, so we don't have to stick with it much longer. Then on Saturday the 13th, there are 2 round 10 games. Sagamihara at home to Fukushima, and Nara at home to, are they a crisis club yet? Matsumoto. Which leaves 8 games for Sunday the 14th. Top of the table fixture at NAC 5, Omiya against Numazu. Gifu play host to Miyazaki. Imabari and Osaka both head north. Imabari to Hachinohe, Osaka to Iwate. Interesting matchup at Ryukyu, where the away side are Nagano. At the Gogo Curry Stadium, Kanazawa take on YSCC. Toyama play host to Tottori. And finally, 2 strugglers meet at Kitakyushu, where the visitors are Sanuki. With all the week's business seen to, then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.